This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamotu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us
Elizabeth
and
Bev Page.
And Bev Page and Iola Haggerty. So, today, listeners, we are going to be talking about what did we learn from the lockdowns and the level fours. And the first thing I'd like to ask is, what did we think level four would be? Elizabeth, do you know what you, what did you think when you, we heard that, gosh, we're going to go, we're going to have to stay at home, not go to the shops?
Well, it was quite frightening being on my own. I thought, I've just got to do this. There's no other way. So it's a journey. Get to the end somehow.
Okay.
And that's what I didn't know what to expect because I'd never done it before. But a bit like Elizabeth, this is what we have to do. So we do it.
Yes. And I think for me, all I wanted to do was to make sure the cupboards were filled and the... entertainment. I raced up to the library and got at least 10 books out and wondered how it would be once I ran out of reading material. Mm. So was there any of those sorts of things that bothered you?
I belong to a women's group that has bookstalls, or did have bookstalls occasionally, and the books were stored in my garage, so I had about 10 boxes of books that I could have delved into if I needed to, so I knew I was quite happy there. So, and food wise, we did the same thing. We just went and stocked up on. We knew the wee dairy at the corner was going to be open all the time, and
yes,
you can get anything you need down there at a pinch, so we didn't panic really.
No.
I did the opposite. I didn't stock up on anything because for me, the highlight was going to the supermarket. I just carried on with routine. And I broke level 4 and 3 lockdown rules by going, when I wanted to go for my walks, I drove 10Ks and did my walk because it's my favourite walk and I was on my own. What's the problem with that?
Just like the...
And nobody told you off.
Mm. No.
You obviously weren't an MP and didn't get on your bike like the one down south did.
Yes, yes. Okay, so, you know, they're obviously level four, and then, of course, we were better prepared then when we went to the second lockdown, weren't we? So was there some changes for you then, Elizabeth, in the second lockdown?
Well, the first lockdown was better because at least we were given 3 days, almost 3 days' notice. The thing about the August one is... We were told, what, 6:15 in the evening, that 11:59pm tonight, you couldn't go to the library shut. Mm. You couldn't go and, you know, to do anything, so no notice, just, you know, like it or lump it.
Mm. The first lockdown, I had retired at that stage and my husband hadn't, and we had our own business and it was regarded as essential services, so he only got called out a couple of times. He had to have a letter from a government agency to say he was allowed to go out of the area. But what happened, he didn't get called out much, but when lockdown finished, he said, I don't think I want to go back to work. And so I'm not quite sure when it finished, but in the March of the following year, we sold our business and he retired. And that was a thing that he got. He realised, he's only 70, but he realised that he quite liked being at home. He found lots of things to do. We learned how to walk the other way when we got sick of each other. And it was wonderful. I think I had a bit of a practice in lockdown because I love my own company, and I'd had 2 years on my own at home as a retired lady. And then all of a sudden he was there every day, and I thought, oh, I've got to deal with this. We've been together since we were 13, so he's like joined at the hip. But and that's what I learned. I learned this is a practice for retirement. We absolutely loved it. Loved the first lockdown. The second one wasn't as easy because I think we were all getting a bit tired of all the restrictions.
Yes.
And I don't think it was as comfortable, personally. And it wasn't as open and friendly on the streets either. The first one, like I said before, families actually seeing them walking and talking to their children on their phone all the time. Mm. I didn't know there were so many dogs in this neighbourhood, and I met them all, you know, walking with your mask on. And but, yeah, so to me, I loved it. And you said before, Aola, that we're probably blessed, actually, because where we are in life, it was easy for us.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't so easy for lots and lots of families.
Lots of people, no.
Mm.
And the other point is that with the second lockdown, masks were mandatory.
Yes.
But prior to that, we didn't have to wear them. Mm. So that cuts out, you know, your ability to engage with anyone out on a walk.
That's right.
Mm.
But I tell you a funny story about the lockdown. I walk early in the mornings, and I was by myself in College Street. It was 6:15. It was dark, and a courier van pulled over, and I went, oh. And he's the regular courier around here, and he says, where's your mask? And I said, I've seen you and three cats. My mask is in my pocket. Well, if the police see you, they'll pull you over and you'll be fined. And I said, what? Anyway, he drove off, and I thought, nah, he's got it all wrong. And then in the second lockdown, well, it wasn't lockdown, I met him in the post shop collecting things without a mask on. And I went, huh. You told me I had to have one on at 6:15 in the morning when there's no one around, and yet you're standing next to me in chemist here without a mask. I loved challenging him. He's a grumpy ass.
Yes, there did seem to be with some people a bit of a change in attitude when it came to the second lockdown, and I think it was, as you say, people were getting sick of it. But also I think there was for a lot of people, the first lockdown, you sort of knew your job was going to be there at the end of it.
Yes.
But the second lockdown, you knew that was probably not going to be happening.
Yes.
And I think that there was much, much more uncertainty about our way of life after the second lockdown than there had been with the first. First, we thought we'd all be going back to normal, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
We did.
I agree.
It did. So, you know, thinking about that, has it changed your view of the world?
It has changed mine in two ways. I'm a bit more hesitant about overseas travel. Definitely not this year. I think maybe not even next year. I think there needs to be a bit more water under the bridge as far as that goes. And locally, because we've been all wearing our masks now, I think 10 months, I think we started in August, so we're June now, and we've been conditioned to wearing masks. I know I am, and I wear mine when I'm in indoor environments with, I go to the cinema. And I wear it there, and when I walk through the plaza, I've never worn my mask at any stage when I'm out exercising. I don't think that was actually compulsory as such, but a lot of people did. How else it's changed? Yeah, I think we're all a bit more conscious now of our health and vulnerability, and, you know, I'd hate to get long COVID. That's one of the things I really dread. So I do everything to avoid that.
Mm. And Bev?
it has changed me. I have always had quite a happy-go-lucky attitude towards life. What will be, will be. And I suddenly realised that not everybody feels like that, and I got quite frustrated with the lack of resilience. I don't like that word, but how some people just, when they had something taken away from them, like their freedom, they did not deal with it. And then there was all the comparison about our pandemic and the war. And I thought, you cannot compare how people coped in the war to a pandemic. It was completely different. We have no idea what it was like, my generation really, no idea what it was like in the World War II, I'm talking about. And so I got a little bit cross with people who whinged and moaned and just get on with it. I've been through a few traumas in my life and they knock you around, but you pick yourself up and just do as you're told, actually. I think that was a problem. You talked about New Zealanders before. We don't like being told what to do.
No, and but again, I think we also have expectations that we will be looked after.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, just looking at what our health service is happening today, we really do need to be mindful that, you know, if the whole system collapsed and we were ill, you would then have to take self-responsibility.
Yes.
Why not take that before it gets to a stage like that?
I agree, and that's, our health system wouldn't have coped. And with a health background, I was happy to have the vaccinations. I didn't quibble about that. I realised that heaps of scientists had come together from all over the world, all countries, put their knowledge together and come up with vaccinations that had and were working.
Yes, but they did it really in 8 to 9 months rather than the normal 3 years that it would have taken.
And to focus on the fact, people would say, oh, but look how quickly it happened, it can't be safe. Well, what other choice did we have?
Well, they did use the origins of the SARS, when they had SARS, that was the genesis of the vaccine. So they already had that in place.
Yes.
And they customised it for the COVID-19.
They also knew, I mean, my sister is a nurse, she was in the South Island, and about 2 years before we got this lot, there were people coming into the surgery, she worked for a GP, with sore throats, coughing, you know, headaches, achy limbs, and the GP said it's a coronavirus and it happens on a regular basis. So it was already, that type of virus was already around, so I believe the scientist was already working on something, and then COVID-19, which is a coronavirus, hit. And so they already had, I'm sure they had the basis, and so that it was just a hurry up because it's here before we realised. And
yes, because there had been a COVID type, almost, well, a spread in Canada some years ago.
Oh, I had that.
And that was where they, well, it was Corona.
Yes,
and
so
that's
they were,
why they were actually a wee bit ahead than what if they were starting from scratch. So it was really interesting. But, you know, thank goodness.
Absolutely
thank goodness. And, you know, I now know that, in my view, all the mandates have gone. And what's been our death rate?
It's very small. Percentage-wise. What
it was over 1,000.
Yes, but they say people died with. I want them to start reporting of people died of.
Yes,
there's a huge difference there, because lots of people have COVID, but they die
of complications.
Their actual illness was. We've got a friend who works at the Invermay Research Centre down south, and she's epidemiologist. Insects. But she said with a virus like this, a virus can only exist with a host.
Yes.
And so if you vaccinate you are depleting the hosts that are available. So it will still exist, but it will get weaker because you're weakening it by vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll end up with another one. And then Omicron came along.
Mm.
And that was a weaker one as far as side effects. And then we had Delta, which is another. Mm. And now there was... Is there
yes.
another one?
No. Yes, there is. Yes.
There, which is weaker for normal healthy people. People are going to die because of the side effects. But I think our percentage of deaths is...
Okay, so back to the lockdowns. What did we actually learn from this for ourselves and for what we would like the community to...
Well, I found that the community cared about each other, which we've lost. The neighbourhoods, I mean, we've got a good little lane we live in, but we just got to know each other better. And I've got several, my husband and I've got several elderly friends, and so I was doing their shopping, and I love supermarket shopping. And one couple, they're very set in their ways, and so they give me a list, and I'd go along and think, I'll get that. And I'd say, oh, look, they didn't have that, so try this. And I'd buy them different things, and not expensive, and they loved it. So they got to experiment with food, just biscuits and, you know, little snacks and things. So I just loved the fact that people would talk to you when you walk down the street. Now, I walk a lot. You've got to make people say hello some of the time, which is quite sad.
Mm.
But it just showed that, when it comes down to it, we do need each other. We need more. We need to be able to connected. Talk to each other. That's the word. Yes.
And you, Elizabeth?
I learnt that I'm resilient and that my appreciation of nature was my bedrock. It was always there, but I just had all this time to, as I say, lose myself in nature when I go on my walks. And I learned how important meaningful relationships are to your mental and emotional well-being. The other thing I'm conscious of is that, going back to a comment Bev made quite a while back, but it was about how some people compare lockdown to a war. The only thing I'd like to say there is that with the lockdown, level 4 and level 3 to a certain extent, your whole ability to socialise was curtailed. So for people who do live on their own, that was really tough because it was everything, you know, cinemas, gyms, shops, all those little opportunities that you would have had in normal times to converse are just suddenly swept away, or like a rug pulled out from underneath you. And getting back to the war, of course, they still had their dances and they, you know, carried on with their social life even when London was being blitzed. So there's that slight difference that a lockdown pandemic, for me, the biggest impact was your loss of ability to socialise. And the only other comment I'd like to make is you can't have lockdowns continuing on and on and on because there are children who are going through that and teenagers who need to be able to meet up with their peers. And a lot of them were breaking lockdown rules in order to do that. I saw that loads of times, teenagers in level 4, they'd all get together outside their bubbles. And so I think, you know, a lockdown is fine. It has to be short, sharp and sweet. It can't be used as a way of curtailing people's freedom.
I think with the lockdown, you'd said about teenagers needing to get out. I've got teenage grandchildren and they were constantly on social media, which they are all the time anyway. So a lot of teenagers now did miss school because they weren't meeting their friends, but they were still socialising. And we actually learned how to Zoom our grandchildren. We had Freaky Friday every Friday in a lockdown where we got, they're in Auckland, we got dressed up freakily and communicated that way. So I think in a way we were quite lucky, I'm talking about teenagers, that they had social media. Now I wish they didn't have it. But I understand people living on their own who didn't have that. It has created a lot of problems. We were glad that my mother-in-law had moved into a rest home before lockdown, because otherwise we would have had to bring her home, because she wouldn't have coped being on her own without anybody. Meals on Wheels, I did Meals on Wheels during lockdown, and we were the only people that some of those recipients ever saw. So it was often a long conversation, social distance with your mask, and they didn't want you to go. So I appreciate that the mental health of all levels in society has suffered because of it.
So, you know, if there was the opportunity to make suggestions to the government to say that, you know, should there be what has been termed a vulnerable portion of society, should we be putting in place some other methods rather than just saying a blanket lockdown?
Yes, I don't know what sort of methods, but I think we do need to focus on those people who are alone and don't have any way of socialising with anyone.
Okay, so.
And I'd just like to add that that's what I didn't like about the government's response, and we're going back to that level four of 2020, because they didn't consider people living alone. They talked about bubbles of family members living together in households and how you could, how you had to stay in your bubble. They did eventually consider that there were an element of the population of who live on their own. Basically, you're forced to do solitary confinement. And so when we had the August, I think it was the August lockdown, they said, right, for those people who live on their own, you can include in your bubble one other person. So we had to have all that time for them to work that one out. And I know from global studies all around the world now, there is a large number of the population who live on their own, you know, whether it's elderly people or people who have lived on their own for years and years. So you have to consider them, because I'd like to do a shout out. SLM, Single Lives Matter. I'll leave it there.
That's all. I think that's really, really worthwhile. And, you know, thank you, Elizabeth, and thank you, Bev. I think that's really given us something to all think about it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.